first, you're last.
Here's Alex Steen for Jade McClendon. Slapped away by Willie Mitchell. Burroughs quickly goes after the puck. The Sedins are coming with him. His shot, he scores! Alex Burroughs with 19 seconds left in overtime sends the Vancouver Canucks to the second round of the playoffs.
Oh, I see the cringe from my man Carlo Koliakovo in studio, reliving a difficult moment, no doubt. Back here on First Up, Karolnik Koliakovo.
Yeah, because I'm reminded of 19 seconds. Like, that couldn't go 19 seconds more and then us go to second overtime and give us a chance to win a game in that series?
So that's 2009, your St. Louis Blues taking on the Vancouver Canucks. And you may be wondering, why are we talking about that series? Of course, yesterday, the Hockey Hall of Fame announcing that both Henrik and Daniel Sedin will be inducted in the 2022 class alongside Daniel Alfredsson, Roberto Luongo, and others. But you went up against the Sedin twins and in turn Alex Burroughs, who's going to join us here in just a moment, a number of times, including in that 2009 first round series. Where was that when you guys went out and got Ryan Miller that year?
No. That was my first year.
That was your first year?
First year at the St. Louis Blues where we went on this incredible run to finish the season. I think we went like 18-2 in our last 20 games to make the playoffs, and we ran into the Vancouver Canucks in the first round and got swept.
Yeah, that's tough. I see you took a roughing penalty in overtime in that game four as well. Well, who were you roughing up?
Probably Burroughs.
Yeah, well, yeah, you needed to rough that guy because he was a menace on the ice. And the Sedin twins, well-deserved. I mean, you knew they were going to be Hockey Hall of Famers. These guys were an institution in Vancouver forever. Mm-hmm. Henrik won the Hart. Daniel won the Ted Lindsay. These were two of the top players in the National Hockey League for a long period of time. There was no doubt they were going to get in. There was no doubt Roberto Luongo was going to get in. And a man who knows all three of those individuals very well, kind enough to join us on the line. It is Alex Burroughs here on First Up. Good morning, Alex. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. And I'm so thrilled our producer was able to track you down and get you on the show today because you have a very unique insight into certainly Daniel and Henrik, who you played on a line with for a long time, Roberto Luongo with the Vancouver Canucks. But let's start with Daniel and Henrik. And I was just chatting with Carlo here, Koliakovo, who you went head-to-head with many times throughout your NHL career. And we were talking about Daniel and Henrik and that kind of telepathic relationship that they had on the ice. You saw it firsthand, and I've seen you describe it like they were dolphins. Can you explain what you mean by that with Daniel and Henrik and the way they communicated on the ice?
Well, they were such great players, not only on the ice, but off the ice also. We'll get to that afterwards. But on the ice, the way they could think the game, it was almost more like a European soccer kind of mentality where it was mostly like hold on to the puck. If we have to regroup, we'll regroup instead of just dumping it in. Attacking time and space, that's what they were elite at instead of just attacking players one-on-one. The way they could give and go, the way they could sauce the puck, too, that was pretty impressive for me.
Backhand, too.
Backhand, forehand, different height, different length of the sauce, where the sauce would land, too. They were just elite, and they weren't the most powerful or the best shooters or the best skaters, but the way they would think the game using the back of the net, using some half-wall pockets where they could release the pressure from, they were unique and they were a lot of fun to watch, and even more playing with them was a lot of fun.
Well, Alex, help us understand playing with them because, you know, for years since the Sedins were in Vancouver, they're always looking for that winger to play with them, and you were the guy that ended up being the best fit for them. But how difficult was it for a guy like you to play with them, knowing where to be, what to think, what to do on each play? But you somehow mastered it very well and carved out a nice career doing so.
Well, I'll tell you so that I was kind of lucky that I was always able to like watch them practice, watch them play for like the first four or five years of my career. So I saw them play with Trent Platt, Trevor Linden, Anson Carter,
Samuelson, Michael Samuelson.
Samuelson a bit later on, Taylor Pyatt. They were all different kind of guys that obviously management wanted to get a winger to play with them. And one day in St. Louis, AV came in between the second and third and said, "You're going with them." And I'm like, I'm just the grinder playing on the third or fourth line and dumping pucks in. But I watched them so closely, and I kind of understood what they needed, maybe. And basically, it was pretty simple, is give them the puck as many times as possible and go to the net. So, and always have your stick ready on the ice, because with some of those passes they could make, only them could do. And so you always have to be ready with your stick on the ice and be ready to score. But they were unreal players, and I was lucky enough to play with them.
We're joined by Alex Burrows from the Montreal Canadiens. He's an assistant coach to Martin St. Louis. Played a long time in Vancouver. Had so much success there. Go ahead, Coco.
So, Alex, how difficult... Okay, you just explained, you know, some of the difficulties and some of the success you've had playing with them. But given the fact that they were twins, like, was it easy to tell them apart on the ice? And even better, off the ice, with how much they looked alike?
Yeah, they like off the ice for sure. At first, I would say the first few weeks, months even, had a tough time picking them apart. But once you start being with them every day, then it becomes second nature. You start recognizing the differences. But on the ice, they both could make plays, obviously. More of a scoring touch than Hank. But Hank would win face-off, would play down the middle. But they would be the same. They would want the puck in the same areas. They'd want to create offense off the rush, off the cycle, on the power play. They're kind of the ones that invented the I-tip slap pass. They're the first one that did that. Using the back-end boards for the long stretch pass.
The icing play.
It's a classic.
When he wanted to gap up tight in the neutral zone, they'd use the backboard. Yeah. That was one of their plays, too, that was tough to defend. There's so many little plays that they kind of help the game grow, and too bad people didn't see them that often in the West Coast, but they were always a treat to watch, that's for sure.
So they were the Sedin twins. Did they welcome you in as like the third Sedin and you guys become triplets? Because now they're being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. They've had an incredible career. You basically said like they changed the game with some of the things that they created, especially on the power play, with the shot passes, with the drop passes, you know, with the dump plays that they would create to get the puck back. You know, how rewarding is it for you knowing that, you know, you played with these guys, you had an incredible career playing with these guys, and now they're going to be Hockey Hall of Famers?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Imagine without, if they would have played with a legit first-line winger, how good they would have been. That's what's amazing for me, but I just tried my best playing with them. But they were always good. You know, some of those Hall of Famers are great players in our game. Some of them have an ego at times, but these guys were the nicest guy. Never always took accountability when things weren't going right. Made me always feel comfortable, always pumped my tires, even though it probably wasn't always earned. So they were great off on the ice, but off the ice, all the stuff they did in the community too in Vancouver, helping out with different kind of foundations, the Sedin charity, obviously, the Connects for Kids fund. They donated so much money. They were in the community all the time, and that speaks volume to me, and that goes even a longer way than all their on-ice achievements.
Our guest is Alex Burrows, who's now an assistant coach with the Montreal Canadiens. A tough start to the season, a tough season for Montreal last year, no doubt. But you guys do have the number one pick in next week's NHL entry draft in Montreal. What have the preparations been like for the coaching staff leading up to that big moment?
Well, for us, for the draft, it's not really in our forte. I've been watching a lot of hockey in the playoffs. It was nice to watch a lot of games, see what things that we can maybe bring to our team and our lineup. And now for the draft, we're just waiting to see whichever kid that we're going to pick is going to be a great player for a long time for your organization. And we're looking forward to seeing what that first pick is going to be.
You went from playing, 12 seasons in the NHL. Now you're an assistant coach with the Montreal Canadiens. Is this sort of the career path that you envisioned yourself transforming to, player to coach? You know, obviously staying in the game is something that most players like to do, but is this the, you know, where you saw yourself being?
Yes, kind of. I didn't think it was going to happen that quick. When I retired, I wanted to come back home and to Quebec and be closer to family. And then I got the opportunity to work for the Laval Rockets just down the road from me. So that was nice. That was a lot of fun learning to coach these young guys, the new generation of player, and how they think the game. And I think it was huge for me to go back to the minors to see how I can work on my coaching skills and develop some relationships with the players. And since I got called up with the Montreal Canadiens, we had that playoff run. That was a blast. It was a lot of fun, even though it was a COVID year.
It's always fun beating the Maple Leafs, isn't it?
It was weird. That was probably the cherry on top, but it was fun. The Leafs are a good team. We had a good run against them. I wish that playoff run we could have been with a full house back building.
Yeah,
that would have
fans been would have been still. Unbelievable for that series.
Especially watching what happened the last few weeks, the fans in every building. So that was fun. Too bad we couldn't experience that, but it was a fun ride. But now last year was a disappointed season. A lot of stuff happened from day one, and finally plowed through. And now we're looking forward to this year with Marty and the new management group. Seem to have a good plan in place. So looking forward to camp to see what kind of players we're going to have. We'll have some new young players that we're going to get at the draft next week. So should be fun. Should be another fun year, and hopefully we can make it a good one.
Alex, you had a hell of a hockey career, now doing a great job behind the bench. And if you ever want to get into media, I mean, you're a hell of a storyteller as well. So we appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck this offseason. Looking forward to seeing you in Toronto, the Hockey Hall of Fame induction. You'll be there for the Sedins and the Bomber,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Oh, I sure hope to be able to make it out. Sure.
Triplets. He needs to be inducted as triplets.
Well, thank you guys. Yes. Thanks for having me. Have a good summer, and we'll see you guys around.
All right, you
thanks,
too,
man.
Alex.
That's Alex Burrows. Played a long time alongside the Sedin twins.